Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. We are so glad you're here. JJ already extended a welcome to our guest, but I want to echo that. Guest, we are glad to have you here, and we want you to be a regular part of this church. And so if you are new or if you are looking, you've found your place. We want you to be a part of this church family. And I want to encourage those who are already members here, look around, and after the service, if there's a face that you don't know, someone that you've not met, reach out, welcome them, take the risk that they've been here a while and you just didn't know it, but I see quite a few new faces and some that are just visiting for the week. Whatever the case is, we're honored to have you here. And this morning, I am honored to introduce to you Greg Sublett. Now, some of you know Greg and Amber from years ago, before my time here at CVC. Greg worked here on staff and has since gone on and helped start the Silver City Church. It is a fantastic church, a fantastic work, and I'm honored that our church gets to play a small part in supporting you guys and joining you in your ministry. And so from time to time, Greg comes back and shares a little bit about what's going on. And for some of you, this may be a refresher. You've heard it before, but it will be an update, not only about what they're doing, but ways that we can get involved. And for others of you, you may not know about Silver City Church. And so this will be an introduction to a wonderful ministry and a wonderful work. It may also open your eyes to some things that you can do and ways that you can support what they do. And so Greg's going to share for a little while, and I'm going to get up at the end. Greg, come on up, and let me say a prayer over you before you share. Father, we thank you for Greg and Amber and all of those who are a part of the Silver City Church. And we pray your blessings over them, over that great ministry. Father, we pray that you will speak through Greg this morning, and Father, we pray even more that we would have ears to hear, that we would have hearts that are open to your work in other parts of this city. Father, that we would have hands that are ready to share and bless and join in your great work that is already going on there. Father, would you continue to be with Greg and be with Amber? Would you strengthen them? Give them perseverance, give them renewed love and energy for their work. And Father, may we be a church that partners with them in prayer, in support, in time, in the great work that they do there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Greg.
Well, for those of you who do know me, the rumors are true. I'm getting old. Good to be back with you. As far as our family goes, we're so blessed. Both my daughters are married and worship and serve with us. We have one granddaughter that I got to show you a couple years ago. I didn't bring any grandkid pictures today. I spared you that. But by Christmas, Lord willing, I will have four. My oldest daughter, Mandy, is pregnant with twins right now. Molly is expecting her first. Now, that's kind of a secret. It's not on the Facebooks yet about Molly, but you won't tell anybody. It's out there, but it's not out there. My beautiful wife, who doesn't look near as old as I do, and everyone reminds me of that often, is after her 22-year career in homeschooling our daughters, has now teaching at Boone Park Elementary, our neighborhood elementary school. I knew this long ago, that being a teacher in an inner city school is child's play compared to being an inner city minister. And I know that even better now. It is the Lord's work for the person who has her heart to serve in that way. And just pray for her. It's tough. The interaction with the kids is kind of her forte. God made her a teacher, but just all of the stuff around it is overwhelming. But she's hanging in there doing great with it. Silver City Church, those of you who've not heard of this before, very simple. We are a church following Jesus in downtown North Little Rock. It's as simple as that. We meet every Sunday. We have Bible class and worship. We just trying to be simply a church there, an outpost, in a place where a lot of people have left. Why? Why am I doing this? I could tell you tons of stories. I've done that before. I can narrow it down to one thing today. I want to show you this little guy. This is Chris Adams. His situation is somewhat typical of a child I would come in contact with in my work. This was when he's 6 or 7 years old. You can characterize, you see that sweet little face. Show me the next slide. This, I'm not particularly sure he was angry when this was taken, or just a random photo, but you can see that this young man was angry, living in a rough situation. The first time I ever saw him, he was in a ditch across from my office there at Silver City Courts. He was trying to kick a log out of the way, and he was cussing it for all it was worth, and just... there were times we would go places. This happened more than once, but we'd be at a park with a ton of kids. We'd pick up a bunch of kids and go there, and I remember one particular day, Chris was just about to get into a fight, and I grabbed his little fist and held him, and he literally growled, and I held on to him until I calmed him down. At another time when we were at church camp, I looked up just in time to see him slapping a kid about 4 years older than him right in the face. And I grabbed him, and I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "This boy's big enough to just tear you up." And he said, "I bet he won't." I got some insights into it by meeting his father, who was in and out of jail, had a terrible drug problem, happened to be at the juvenile court with Chris's father, and one of his sisters had gotten into just a little trouble, but she had a court date. And you know how that goes. We sat there, the appointment was at 9 o'clock, and we're sitting there at 10:30, and Chris Sr., his father's name was Chris as well, was just giving it this, and why are they doing this, and I'm going to go talk to somebody, and we kept trying to say, it's going to be okay. And I kid you not, 5 or 6 police officers walked by that morning, and every one of them said, "How you doing, Chris?" They knew him that well. He eventually went to prison for a long time for shooting at police officers. Now, this was Chris's role model. Angry, lost. Well, what do you do? How do you begin to change something like that? We had a strategy. Some of it happened accidentally. Some of it happened just because we were there. We first made it our heart's desire to teach him about the love of Jesus. And this is his moment when he was actually baptized when he was 10. This is when he was a little older at church camp, being baptized again. He had this tremendous week. And we've had some great weeks at our camp where the kids just get very emotional and very dedicated. But Chris came to know Jesus. We preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He came to understand this. We began to see changes happen in his life because of this. We took him to church camp. This is that's my oldest daughter, Mandy. I've shown you this picture before. We many times were able to take our children from Silver City, our youth group, to Mexico and do those build houses or work in orphanages. And this was Chris on that trip. A great experience for them to see a completely different side of the world and to understand different venues of poverty. And wow, this is a life-changing thing. It's interesting. He went on this trip, but he wasn't going to get to. Wouldn't do anything. Had been a lot of trouble. I made up 3 or 4 different assignments for him to make up what he was supposed to do so I could take him. So glad I did. Next. And just learning to serve. He's down on the bottom right of that picture. And this happens to be when we lived downtown, my neighbors had a car wreck, and a bunch of guys went over, and Mandy, and we stacked his firewood. Just acts of service. Next is, and we got to play Upward Basketball. Some of you have heard of that program. Chris started when he was little. And as he got older, at this point in time, I was kind of managing a side and was the chief referee at the Levy Church of Christ where we played. And Chris came out, and you see a little third grader behind him. Chris was a great referee. By this time in his life, he had been patient. And he could look at these little guys who were like he was and help them, encourage them. By far, though, the most impactful thing I feel that happened in the life of Chris Adams was meeting Robert Ulrey. Some of you may know Robert. He's a Harding grad from a Harding family, attends at Pleasant Valley. Now, Robert Ulrey, at this point in time, was single. I think he started with this when he was about 45 years old, was the opposite of Chris Adams, Sr. Just a quiet, mild-mannered man. And the first time he came down, his eyes were big, as most people's eyes are the first time they come down. What's going on here with all these kids? And we let him sit with Chris in one of our summer programs that I'll tell you about in a minute. But this relationship began to develop. And this Robert Ulrey was a prince, is a prince to Chris, because there'd be times when he would see this explosiveness. Not so much in that scenario, but he still understood what it was to see the young man pout and learned his story, but he loved him. As Chris grew, Robert was there. He started with him when he was 9 or 10 years old. And every year through his senior in high school, during the school year, this weekly meeting, and then they're closer. Robert gets to know Chris's family. Robert was there in the gap when Chris's father was in prison. They spend time together during the summer. And Chris always had this in him, but this became who he was, this sweet young man. This is him holding one of his nieces. Lights began to come on as well. Believe it or not, kids are made fun of for trying to do well, to excel in school, to read well. Chris was in that camp. He began, though, to be encouraged to do well. And I remember one year in our summer tutoring program, he was there, and one of his cousins was there, and they got into this competition who could do better in the math problems and everything. But he started to care about that, and he started to understand. And then he's with this good man all the time who's encouraging, helping him with that. All of us are there doing that for him. This is Chris with Robert at the Christmas party of our senior year. During this time, Chris got to watch Robert's life change as well. Robert was married, and this is his first daughter, first child, Grace. So they grew up together. Chris was in his wedding. How special, how sweet that was. So hold the slide right here, Haley, until I tell you to advance. It is everything that I dream of seeing happen in a young man's life. He, terrible, dysfunctional situation. He learned about Jesus. He accepted Jesus. He was discipled as part of a church family and by a godly man who had that time to just spend special time and attention, give me special time and attention. The story has a very bittersweet ending, though, because Chris was set up. He was about to go to Harding. He had done well on his ACT. The world was just at his fingertips, as we would like to say, in the ways we think sometimes. And he went on a spring break trip. He came to Robert and me both saying, I'm going. And Robert even gave him some money to help him put his expenses on the trip. And on Saturday morning, we get a call. The car that Chris was in had driven off and made a long drop, and he and the other three students in the car were dead. And his, of all things, his family found out about it on Facebook. such a crazy world we live in. And it just ripped us apart, as you can well imagine. And after his death at his wake, kids start coming out of the woodwork telling me, I got baptized because of Chris Adams. I was in school and cutting up, and he said, man, straighten up and do right. And in the midst of seeing this as a terrible failure, it wasn't at all. It's what we dreamed of for his life and for his eternal destiny. It just happened way sooner than we wanted it to. It says in Revelation, blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they will rest from their labors and their deeds will follow him. This young man has a legacy even today, because I'm telling you his story. But his life was changed because God's people, and particularly one person, one man of peace, cared. This is what we are as a church, and this is stuff we wrote 20 years ago as we started, and we've done our best. Silver City Church is there to announce the nature and presence of God, to make growing disciples of Jesus, to equip them for ministry and service to others, to model and be a godly family. That's our purpose. That's our why. That's how we accomplish this big why of touching lives and leading people to Christ. How can you help? It's not by giving us peace and structure. I put these two words up there to tell you that there are ways you can be involved. And our goal, as far as our outside volunteers who become part of our family, in my opinion, over time, is for us to offer you a place of peace. You're very unlikely to go, let me go down to the Silver City Courts and see if I can find a child to help and minister. That's not going to happen. But we have a place where we've surfaced those children, and where we have provided a place where, with structure, for you to bless them and to walk in their lives and help them. Now, I know this isn't for everyone, but some of you are thinking, that sounds really neat. And I invite you into a challenge. I invite you into a wonderful experience, and I invite you into potential heartbreak. But I invite you into an opportunity to serve Jesus in a very special way. We have short-term mentoring programs. So this is very simple, again, and it works really good if some of your small groups will say, hey, we'll do this, and you've done this before. Or you can just sign up individually. But you can come down on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and get a taste of our youth mentoring program. We'll assign you a young person. And everything we have other than when you prepare the meals requires no outside preparation. I'll show up. If you say, I'll show up and be ready to love a kid, to do this, we've got the handouts. We've got in this particular thing, you'll sit and do a Bible lesson and play games and have a snack with the kid. We may have kind of a life skill thing going on, but the Bible lesson is a handout that you read through together. So pray up and show up, as we say. This is a picture. We have 35 children involved in our mentoring program throughout the school year. This is our Christmas party photo, just giving you a picture of how many are doing that. And without exception, God just works, because I have 35 kids and I have 35 caring adults who are just great, on point. And all of us are. This becomes a family, and we have this opportunity to encourage each other. And then there are several people like me there that know every aspect of, or a lot of the aspects of these children's lives, and can help you through that experience. Our summer camp, we do that with the River City Church. Keith Lape and I direct a summer session together. It's a neat, special time. There's another step ministry. So our particular week is basically focused on inner city children. We'd love to have you. Boy, I'm asking you for a lot, I know, but it's a neat challenge, and you'll be blessed by it, to come spend a week as a camp counselor or help in the kitchen as a cook or just be a general helper. We'll give you, you can have some of you guys to bring your own four-wheeler if you wanted to and fill up the water jugs and just be part of the camp in that way. Take out the trash. But camp is where we see children's lives changed. So I want to invite you to do that. Next. We have summer tutoring on Wednesdays and Fridays throughout the summer from noon to 3:30. Here again, everything is there for you. You don't have to prepare outside. We'll give you the materials, the stuff to do with the kiddos. We would love it if someone said that some of you that are in the position to do that could just come every Wednesday and Friday. But maybe you could just come one Friday. Particularly, just show up. And if we know you're coming, that's even better. But it's another place to be there. We're trying to give a lot of extra special help to these kids. So we do that through our tutoring program. Christy Oldham has volunteered to be our point person here. And she came many times last summer. I've got a sign-up sheet outside that'll have my number and her number on there. So if you do that. And this is going great. Some of your small groups. And I made a promise to myself that I would mention no names because so many of you are in the middle of this one way or the other in special ways. But your life groups that are coming and serving our meals on Sunday evening, that's special. The kids get there and it's kind of a hassle. They're hungry and we're hungry. My apprentice and I spend a lot of Fridays cooking and we enjoy doing that, but we also enjoy a break when a group will come and serve us that way. And we appreciate that so much. As Paul said, always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. 20 plus years now. It's crazy. From the first day until now. So we deeply appreciate being part of your family and you being part of our family and the bonds we have through this. Thank you for letting me be here today.
We love the work that you're doing at Silver City Church. And I love that in some small way, and I continue to pray in a little bit bigger way each week and each year, that our church gets to partner with you. And there's no accident that in the middle of a series, our one-day series, where we're focusing today on one day of service, that I said, Greg, I want to have you come and be a part of it. And we had talked about finding a time for him to come and share. I'm going to keep what I say brief, but if you've been with us, you know that during this one-day series, every week we have explored either a different virtue that we try to commit together to practice or a different vice that we say we want to abstain from that and instead go a different direction. And this week, our focus is one day of service. And there is so much around us in our world and in our hearts that encourages us to look out for ourselves first. There is so much within us and around us that encourages self-interest and self-preservation and prioritizing ourselves above others. And when Jesus comes, he acknowledges that that is the way of the world. It's just not the way of the new world that he's trying to create within us and among us. What Jesus does in our hearts and in our lives in new creation is he wants to turn us inside out. Instead of constantly looking at selves, looking at those around us. And instead of prioritizing ourselves, we start to put others first. And Jesus says, I know that that's the way of the world, but in my new world, it's the first that are last, and the last that become first. And the way of the world is looking out for self, but the way of my new world, of new creation, is that we become servants. The greatest among us are the servants among us. And what Jesus says is, I myself will set the example. I will show you the path to take. So I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so here's my encouragement for us as we go into this week, our one day of service. I've got a couple of things I want to challenge you with. And one is, during your one day this week, commit to an act of service to a person or people with whom you're close. Spend time with those who are in your close proximity. That can be family, that can be friends, that can be coworkers. And I want to challenge you during this one day to get outside of yourself and outside of just the norms of the particular day, what the kinds of things you would already do on a regular basis. So if you're the person that prepares a meal in the family, that's wonderful, but keep doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're the one that looks after certain tasks, keep doing what you're already doing. But the encouragement, the challenge, is to take it up a notch. That you show someone in your immediate circle the love and compassion of God. That you look after some menial task that often gets overlooked, in a way that is going to bless someone. And you do that not so that they know, not so that you're seen, but that you can show them the love of God in your action. That's challenge number one. And challenge number two is this: commit to find an act of service to build up the church here. Whatever that is, if you are a member of the body, we are reminded by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, that you are gifted to bless the body. You're needed. You're important. What you bring to the table is critical to the work of God in this place. And it may be that you're already serving, and I want to encourage you to keep that up and see if there may be something else that you can do. But if you find yourself right now looking for opportunities, there are all kinds of places in which you can use the gifts that God has given you, the talents God has given you, the time that God has given you to bless others. We always need more people who are willing to serve. Whether that's in a nursery or teaching a children's class, whether that's helping out with praise team, whether that is in connection with a life group, and serving the people who are there, and hosting, and reaching out to those who spend time in the hospital, and preparing meals, or whether that's taking someone to the doctor, or all the different opportunities. I want to encourage you during this one day, not that you do that act of service, but that you think about, in what way is God calling me, and what way might God be equipping me to build up the body here. And the third encouragement is this: commit to find a place of service beyond these walls. Because one of the biggest challenges that we face in churches, not just this church, is turning inward. That the very instincts that Jesus is trying to redirect are instincts that we might sort of circle the wagons and only think of self. And we're called to bless one another, but we are called to be a blessing to the wider world. And so I am so thankful for the work that Greg is doing and the work that Silver City Church is doing. And I hope that maybe that connects with you, the ideas that he shared, that you could explore being a mentor, that you could explore joining in their work at camp. If you don't know, or if your life group doesn't know, many of our life groups provide the meal every Sunday night for the Silver City Church. And some of the groups are regular at that. Some of you may have done that before, and now that I'm mentioning it, you're like, oh yeah, we used to do that. Well, guess what? There's openings. There's opportunities. That's something that you can do again. And I hope that you might be called, you might feel led to join in this great work at Silver City. But like Greg said, if it's not this, my encouragement is to explore what that might be. Again, on this one day this week doesn't mean that's the day you do it. But maybe you think through opportunities. Maybe you make a call. Maybe you look around. There are so many great works that we can be involved in. And there are so many great works that many of you are already involved in. So it is not to suggest that you're not doing something. But some of you may find yourself during a period right now where this hasn't been a part of who you are. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Whether that's once a week or once a month or once a quarter, the gospel continues to send us out. The way of Jesus is a way of self-denial for the sake of those around us. You may remember that in John 13, after Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, a task that was very looked down upon, a very humble act of service on behalf of the others, he taught us a couple of things, and one was this. He said, I didn't just do this for you. I did this as an example for you. I want you to follow in my footsteps of humble service to those around you. That's what it means to be my disciple. And he also reminded them and us that at any point we think we're beyond that, we're too good for that, is the point we think we've surpassed Jesus himself. Because he says, no servant is greater than their Lord, greater than their master. And I, your Lord and master, have humbled myself. That's what you need to do. But he ends with a promise, and I think it showed up on the screen. And that is the path of service and the path of sacrificial love of the kingdom was never meant to be a burden. It was always intended to be a blessing. That when we walk in these ways, we are building up others, but we ourselves are built up in the process. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So that's my prayer for all of us. It's not just a prayer for Silver City Church. It's a prayer for Chenal Valley Church, that we would be a people not of occasional service, but servants in the manner of our Lord. Let's stand and sing together.